We'll commence our meeting this morning by turning to the Psalm section in the book, and we're on page 94 for the Psalm 103. Psalm 103, "Thou, my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless." And we're going to sing verse 1 down to 5. And then we'll finish off with the final verse, verse 22. So verse 1 through to 5, and then dropping down to the final one, verse 22. Together in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father and gracious Lord, we thank Thee that we're found together in Thy presence here this morning. We thank Thee for help that is given to and allow us to be here, for divine enablement that gives us a desire to be found in the house of God. We pray that Thou wilt come today, and in a very special way, that Thou wilt be speaking to our hearts, that I will be addressing our minds and our consciences, that it will be a word that will come from Thy mouth to our heart, and will be one of encouragement, and one that will stir us up, and one that may even caution us, and one that will correct us. And Lord, we come before Thee today, and we freely admit that we need all of these things. We must have the Saviour with us, and we cannot dare to walk alone. We must have that hand of mercy that is leading us, guiding us, clearing the way, removing obstacles, giving us an opportunity to go forward in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that the world around us is watching in. It may not be reading the Word of God, it may not be reading the Bible, but it certainly is reading Christians that are out and about. It's determining from them, discerning from them what is the right way to go. And Father, we pray that we will not be those who are hiding our light under a bushel, the terms that we have in the New Testament. We pray that we not be hiding or causing that light to be burning low, giving an uncertain signal, not producing a lot of illumination, more heat than light. Lord, we pray that we'll produce not only warmth, but we will give light onto the path of the one that is weary. And may that light be educated by and driven by thy word. And may we live in terms of how the scripture would dictate and determine. Come, we pray today, therefore, and help us to square our living with what thou art declaring in thy truth. We pray for comfort in the Holy Spirit today. We know there are those that will be in the meeting and they're heavy laden. They're weary. They're burdened. Because of a whole variety of things, many issues have not turned out for them in the way that they had hoped. Therefore, their spirits are flat and their souls are disconsolate. We have bereavements in families. We have illness in others. We have those who have spread off and given great cause for concern in other family circles. And Lord, we pray that for all of these issues and so many more, issues known to thee, that thou will come today and with the arm of thy mercy and the hand of thy love and the closeness of thine abiding affection, we pray that thou wilt sort many things out unto the glory of thy grace and also to the good of thine own believing people. Help us to praise thee today with a joyful heart, with the song of the soul set free, in the knowledge that Christ is a Saviour who was worth having, a Redeemer, and there is no other. We thank thee, Lord, for the many reminders in the Word of God that thou art God, and there is none else. And while others today may bow down before images of wood and stone, and while they might be looking in this direction and some other direction for consolation and comfort and satisfaction, we pray that, well, as our hymn puts it, none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found and only found in thee. And may, Lord, they find it in thee. May we find it in thee today as well. Touch our land, we pray. It's in great need of a revival of true religion. It's in great need of a wide-spreading movement of thy spirit to regenerate the lost, to revive and reform the church, and to bring glory unto the name of the great head and king of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ alone. So come, open windows in heaven, pour us out a blessing, refresh our hearts today, may our minds be encouraged, and may we be looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, reminding ourselves that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for us, and he's hearing our cries, and he's understanding our issues and our complaints, and he feels our need, and he sympathizes with us. And the angel of the presence of God today is bearing us and carrying us, and we pray that we'll be conscious of all of that this morning and right through this day. We pray in Jesus' name and for thine eternal glory. Amen. Turning to hymn 568. Hymn number 568. You'll find it on the page 405. And we'll stand as we sing this great hymn. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Let's stand as we sing, please. 568. Turning this morning in the Word of God to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah and the chapter 43. Book of Isaiah's prophecy and the 43rd chapter. We'll read from verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I give Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, Give up, and to the south, Keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this, and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, It is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let, or reverse, or prevent it? Amen. We know the Lord himself will add his blessing onto the reading of his word in our hearing today. We'll ask your brother, Mr. James Bennison, if he'll come now and bring to our attention the necessary announcements, please.
We do give to everyone who has gathered in the house of God this morning a welcome. We're glad to see you. We're glad you've made it to the house of God. And for those listening at home online, we do give you a welcome in the Saviour's name. We pray that we might know the blessing of God in our services as the Word of God is preached. We also give a very warm welcome to our preacher today, no stranger to us. He's been with us before, the Reverend Ian Brown, currently minister of the Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church. We're glad to have him with us. We do look forward to his ministry of the word to our own hearts today. Do remember tonight the season of prayer up in the prayer meeting or up in the prayer room on the upper floor, 6:30 before the evening service, and then at 7 p.m. the gospel service, and the Reverend Brown will be back with us to bring the message in the gospel. Then immediately after the evening service at around 8:45, there will be a meeting here of the North Down Young Adults Rally. It'll be held in our own church here. The preacher is the Reverend Patrick Baker, and supper will be provided after the meeting. So those that are involved in that preparation of the supper, we do thank you for your assistance, and we pray that you'll be in place after our own service this evening. Could we take opportunity again, just at this time, to mention the Gift Aid Scheme? It is a benefit to the church. There are those leaflets out in the stands there in the hall. We ask you to look at them. And if you don't participate, but you would like to, then if there are any other questions, then please see our brother Billy Park, and he should be able to answer all of those things to you. We do draw your attention as well to the communicant members list that's on the notice board there in the corridor. You'll find it just above the little radio that's used for Let the Bible Speak there in the notice board. Please have a look at that as well. The meetings for the incoming week: Monday morning, 10:30, the Little Sunbeams Parent and Toddlers meeting in the church hall. Do remember that. Tuesday night at 7, the children's meeting. Wednesday night at 8, the prayer meeting and Bible study. And the Reverend Murray will be along to lead that meeting. Saturday night at 7 o'clock, young people, please take note of that earlier time. It's the last meeting for yourselves for this season. It's an outing. You're going to Extreme Bowling at the Dundonald Ice Bowl this Saturday night. And we do ask that you be here for that time of 7 o'clock. There are parent and guardian slips that need to be completed. They are available. And if you need one or you have any questions, see your sister Heather Garrett, and she'll be happy to help you on that. Next Lord's Day, the 19th of March, the services as follows: 10 a.m., the Sunday school; 11 a.m., the prayer meeting. Before the service, we exhort God's people to come. We thank God for the increase that there has been, but I believe there are others who could come, join with us, meet for that season of prayer, and pray that the Lord will meet with us in the services here in the house of God. 11:30 a.m. family worship, and the interim moderator of our congregation at this time, the Reverend Samuel Murray, will be along to preach next Lord's Day, both at 11:30 a.m. and then at 7 p.m. in the Gospel. That service will be preceded by the season of prayer at 6:30. And during the evening service, Nessie, Susan and Joe will be bringing messages in song. So I do trust that you'll remember the meetings next Lord's Day. Plan to be in attendance. Plan to come. Next Lord's Day, the third Sunday of the month, we will be taking up the retiring offering for the work of the Missionary Council. So do please remember that. Come prepared and give as the Lord has prospered you. One or two other announcements, just to inform you of a week of meetings. The Foundation Conference meetings will be held this week in our Crossgar Free Presbyterian Church. It always coincides coming up to the 17th of March, when the Free Presbyterian Church came into existence. It starts tonight. The meeting tonight, 7 o'clock. You're not allowed to go there. You have to be here. But you're allowed to go for the rest of the week. Those weeknight meetings are at 8 p.m. The preacher is the Reverend Andrew Stewart from the Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church. The subject of those meetings are the compound names of Jehovah. Tonight's message is the Lord our righteousness. Monday evening, the Lord will provide. Tuesday evening, the Lord that healeth thee. Wednesday evening, the Lord who sanctifies thee. Thursday, the Lord our peace. and Friday evening, the Lord is there. I'll put that notice up on the notice board just in the hall so you can refer to it, and I'm sure the folks down there will be encouraged by your attendance. Just a couple of other things. Do remember the sick of the congregation. We commit them to you. Our brother Robbie, that the Lord's hand will continue to be upon him. Our brother David Foster, Barney Elliott, Carl Stripp in the nursing home, Louise's mum. Do pray for these folk. We ask you as well, as we put out in the church WhatsApp this week, our sister Lorraine Polly, going back and forward, her father is quite ill at this time. So do remember these folk in your prayer. Also, we've had bereavements in the congregation. Our sister Ailey Maxwell had an aunt that died recently. An aunt of Brian and Sandra Hannah, also sister-in-law of Mrs. Isa Burtney. We commit all of these families to the Lord in prayer. And then again, our brother Trevor Polly, that's Lorraine's husband. We mentioned this as well, the passing of his mother into glory on Friday afternoon. She was ready to go. She's gone home to be with the Lord. And we pray that you remember them, the wider family circle, and all of these families that have been mentioned at the throne of grace in prayer, please. They would appreciate that, and I know you will do it as unto the Lord. Those are all the announcements that I need to make. I'll hand the rest of the meeting over to the Reverend Brown. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, James, for those announcements. We'll turn now to our offering hymn, which is the hymn 570. In fact, if you kept your book open after the last hymn, you'd be right on the page or near enough. And if you keep your book open after this one to the end, then you'll be on the page as well. 570, though, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. 570, and we'll remain seated for the first part of the hymn while your offering is received. Sing verse 3 and verse 4 only. 3 and 4 now, as we stand, please. Thank you. Turning back this morning in the Word of God to the book of Isaiah, the chapter 43. The book of Isaiah, the chapter 43 that we've read from already. And we're looking at the first three verses of the chapter again. I think I'm sharing with many of you a cold. I'll gladly pass it on at the door if I can get rid of it and give it to somebody else. But I think by the coughs and whatnot that I'm hearing, there's a few people struggling as well. But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Let's bow again before the Lord in prayer. It is a privilege to be here today, so thank you for the invitation and for the words of welcome, and we pray the Lord will bless us as we come to his word this day. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again we call upon thy name today. We do thank thee for thy many mercies, thine abundant grace towards us. And we pray for those people that we've mentioned here in the announcements today that have known bereavement within the family, therefore heartache and heartbreak, and need thy comfort at this moment in time. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt draw especially near to them. May they be assured, as thou hast said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in thee. And we praise thee that in thy Father's house are many mansions, and we know that for those who have gone there, they would not swap this veil of tears with the mansions of glory, but they have left people behind who were in the veil of tears, and who feel the loss, and mourn the passing, and endure the weight, and we pray that thou wilt be very gracious unto them this very day. Come and speak to our hearts now through the word of God. May it be an appropriate challenge and comfort to our minds and our souls. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Who likes to receive a love letter? I'm not sure that anybody here would be putting up the hands, pushing it back and saying, no, I'm not into that kind of thing, just leave me out of that. Because you might well have been disappointed if on Valentine's Day you didn't get one of those. Well, there's always next year. It'll come around again, I'm sure. Or the 19th of March, that's going to be Mother's Day. And I'm sure there'll be many fine ways of expressing our love for mothers on that occasion. In Isaiah, the chapter 43 that we've turned to this morning, we have here what is effectively a love letter from God, and it's rather surprising that it's coming to a disobedient and rebellious and straying people. And at your leisure, when you've time, you can read the previous chapter, Isaiah chapter 42, and you'll find there that their measure of rebellion against God, it's outlined and in fact given in detail in Isaiah 42. And yet, it's rather amazing that as we begin chapter 43, having addressed this rebellious people, having highlighted their many sins, what God does in this 43rd chapter is throw out the promises of brilliant blessing to them. Writes a love letter to those who had disobeyed and strayed away from him. And we can only say how gracious God is to his people. And I'm sure you and I, if we are in Christ today, have proven that in our lives as well. But what it translates into in Isaiah 43, the verse 1 to 3, what it translates into is this. We have heavenly helps for earthly hurts. Heavenly helps for earthly hurts. And maybe you've come to the building today and you're thinking, well, you know what? I'm hurting. I'm not really in the form for being in fellowship with people today. And I have a difficult road that I'm walking. Maybe, as we've heard today, some bereavement in the family, sickness in the home. Maybe trouble has come and arrived with a bang on your doorstep, and you're wondering, how can I possibly navigate my way through this? Well, I trust that in the message today, we will find some heavenly helps for our earthly hurts. We have a promise for each of God's people in Isaiah 43, the verse 1 to 3. Very familiar words. I'm very aware of that. Words that perhaps if you're lying in a hospital bed, a minister comes in, there's a good chance that in some of the visits that he'll make to your bed there, he will read Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 to 3, and maybe a few others besides. So it is very, very familiar. One of God's wonderful promises for us. And the thing about that is, though he promises those exceeding great and precious promises, 2 Peter 1 and 4, he guarantees he will fulfill every single one of them. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, we're told, for all the promises of God in him, that is in Jesus Christ, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So here's a promise. I'm laying it before you, and I trust that you'll reach out with both of your hands and say, Lord, I feel empty today, but I want my hands and heart to be filled by the wonder of thy promise. Heavenly helps for earthly hurts. Notice, first of all, from the verses, the people who are addressed. The people who are addressed. Who are they? Who's the Lord speaking to? Well, if you drop down to the final three words in our English translation in Isaiah 43 in the verse 1, you'll find these words. Thou art mine. Very clear. God is addressing his own people. Those who belong to him. Those upon whom he has a claim. And he says, thou art mine. Now every child of God belongs to the Lord in a threefold sense. We are his, first of all, by creation. And we have that addressed here in Isaiah 43 in the verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. So I am God's property. Why? Because he made me. He has created me. I am his by creation. And we can think our way back to Genesis 1, the verse 26 and 27, where God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Sadly, the world has lost sight of these verses today, lost sight of God's order. That's why we have all the confusion and the chaos around. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. He has made us. In John 1 and 3, we're reminded all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Again, Colossians 1 and verse 16, Paul takes up a similar theme. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Now, if I want to shrug off my responsibility to God, and if I want to pretend that I am not a creature made by his hand in his image, then I'll plump for evolution, because that's convenient. It means I slip away because I've denied my origin as coming from the hand of God, and I can say, therefore, that I am responsible to no one but myself. I am my own boss. I don't answer to any higher authority. But if I believe, as the Bible teaches me, I am created by God, well, that gives me purpose. That means I'm a creature of design. But it also means I am responsible to the one who has made me. We are his by creation. But then you'll notice as well that we are his by redemption. Because once more, in Isaiah 43 in the verse 1, what do we read? But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have redeemed thee. I am his by creation. I am also his by redemption. God's property, because he has purchased me. He has bought me back. And many times we'll sing to him, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And again, Paul in his writing and Peter in his writing, under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, they write, 1 Corinthians 6, the verse 19 and the verse 20, ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And then Peter, forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Redeemed, bought by him. And surely when William Cushing sat down and he wrote what is now a very familiar hymn, that would have been the thought in his mind. Under his wings I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust him. I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. I am his by creation. I am his by redemption. We belong to him, though, in a threefold sense. What's the third thing? Well, I am his as well by election. Notice once more in Isaiah 43 in the verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. I have called thee by thy name. Before the Lord created the world and everything that has gone into it, he purposed that a people would be his. He would choose them, call them out by his Spirit in time, and of course having redeemed them by precious blood on Calvary. So I am his. Isaiah is telling me here, I am his because he made me. I am his because he redeemed me. I am his because he has chosen me. And didn't Jesus say in John 15 and the verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Notice again two words sealing it all up in the verse 3 of Isaiah 43. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. That connection again. Thou art mine, I am thine. Don't we love to sing the hymn, his forever, only his, who the Lord and me shall part? With what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee, firstborn light in gloom decline, but while God and I shall be, I am his, and he is mine. Who's he talking to here? Thou art mine. The people who are addressed. But then notice secondly, the pathway that is travelled. The pathway that is travelled. Some people have the thought, whenever I get saved, everything is ironed out, and all the bumps in the road are just smooth, and it's all flat again. There's never a curve, never a turn, never a twist, never a difficulty. But of course, you never read that in the Bible, and you never discover that by your own experience either. You never find that the Christian life is an easy life, that it's plain sailing, that it's a bed of roses, that it's a cozy existence, that it's a pillow-padded pathway. By no means. Many times, you find it to be completely the opposite to that. These verses in Isaiah 43 underline the fact that the pathway God chooses for us sometimes leads us through the water, other times may lead us through the fire. And so in verse 2 I read, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now notice here there's an inevitability about it all. It's inevitable. Because it's not God saying to us here through the words of Isaiah, "If thou passest," as though it might happen in your life. It's a possibility. It's not even ramped up to the level of, it's a probability that these things could happen. I mean, 70% chance of it happening, 80%, 90%, not even that. God says, "When thou passest." So it's inevitable. It's going to happen. It'll be part of the journey. There is no avoiding that. And it's not a surprise, because the Savior said in John 16 and the verse 33, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Paul wrote in Philippians 1 and 29, "Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." In 1 Peter 4, verse 12 and 13, Peter is prepping those saints of the Lord, and he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." And so I look at this pathway, and I see one thing about it: it's inevitable. The inevitability about it, "when thou passest." But notice the inspiration about it, the inspiration along it. The inevitability about it, the inspiration along it, because this pathway is divinely ordered and approved and ordained. The Lord, the sovereign Lord, he knows what I don't know. He knows the end from the beginning. I can only ascertain where I am on the pathway right now. I can only see what I see with my eyes around me, but the Lord sees right to the end of the journey. He sees, knowing the end from the beginning, and he's speaking now to his people as he's looking forward into the future, and he says, "You're going to pass through the water. You're going to pass through the fire. You'll be called upon to hit the extremes." That's what it is. And maybe you're saying, "Well, if only you knew." But I am going through those extremes right now. This is exactly where I am. Well, take comfort. Take comfort in this. God knows everything about the pathway. Every ripple, every wave in that water, every spark and every flame in that fire, every depth in the water, every boost in the temperature that comes along. He knows it all, for he has planned it for you. This is what kept Job afloat in the middle of such heavy, crushing trials. In Job 23, in the verse 10, he said, "For he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." The psalmist said in Psalm 37, in the verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." George Mueller, who founded the Five Orphan Houses and actually down in Bristol, who knew what it was to walk close to the Lord, who depended upon the Lord daily to meet the needs of those hundreds of boys and hundreds of girls that he had brought into those houses, he used to say, whenever he looked at Psalm 37:23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord," he said, "Yes, and not only the steps, sometimes also the stops of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord." And sometimes that's where we are. Just brought to a standstill. Feels that the wheels have come off. Can't move forward. Feel that we can't do anything. Let's remember, as Mueller put it, "The stops of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord as well." There was a singer who used to turn up at Martyrs on Easter Convention Day, on the Monday usually. He was a Baptist from Lisburn, namesake of mine. Hubie Brown, the older folk will remember him, I'm sure. Bricklayer by trade. And yes, I would associate him with one hymn at Martyrs. And if it was Billy Henning singing, it'll be raindrops out of blue skies. If it was Hubie Brown singing, it would be invariably, "He touched me." But there was another hymn that he used to sing quite a bit, and once he built a wall for us in Lisburn, and he came in and he was singing away, and this was his piece. "I know, my heavenly Father knows, the storms that would my way oppose, but he can drive the clouds away and turn my darkness into day. I know, my heavenly Father knows, the balm I need to soothe my woes, and with his touch of love divine, he heals this wounded soul of mine. He knows, and tempers every wind that blows. The inevitability about it when thou passest, the inspiration along it, God knows all about that path. The intensity in it is another thing, because it is a very rough, and it is a testing way. We can't airbrush it here. We can't blur it into insignificance. It does have sharp edges. It is full of trial." Notice carefully the words that are piled up here in Isaiah 43 and verse 2. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." No matter how we look at the words, water, rivers, fire, flames, it's severe. And there is no doubting the fact that many times God's people go through severe testing. We can't escape. It's extreme. Notice also the individuality about it. Because we have a pathway here of varied testings that's laid out in Isaiah 43 and 2. It's telling you, there's a different path for each of God's children. Your experience, I'm going to use an old expression, is not going to be a carbon copy of mine. And for those that weren't born in the days when you made carbon copies, you're more into cloning, I suppose, or exact replicas. Photocopy will do. Scan. Your road, if it's set on top of mine, will not look exactly the same. The twist will not be inserted at the same place. The turn, the bump, the hill, the mountainous climb. Our roads will be different. We may pass through the fire, but not through the water. Or we may pass through the water, but not the fire. Or we might be called upon to go through both water and fire. It's all here, and there are different paths for God's people. I'm sure you'll recall the chorus of that gospel piece. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood, some through great sorrow, but God gives the song in the night season and all the day long. The individuality about the path. But should I stop there and say, we'll close in prayer, our final hymn? I think the message would be pretty depressing. But this is not where our text stops. We have the people who were addressed. We have, secondly, the pathway that is travelled. But finally, thirdly, we have the promise that is guaranteed. The promise that is guaranteed. Our Lord makes a fourfold promise to those people going through the flood, going through the fire. And that's here in Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 3. He promises, first part of it, the security of his property. The security of his property. Are you going through the waters today? Are you going through the fires today? Do you feel the intensity of the flame? Are you almost overwhelmed and sinking in the flood? God says, as we have noted verse 1, "Thou art mine, mine by creation, mine by redemption, mine by election, and by extension." Do you think that I am going to lose the property which has cost me so much, that is so precious to me, that I have expended so much energy on, that I have circled by my providential hand? Do you think I'm going to surrender up and lose that property? No way. Thou art mine, the security of his property through the flame and through the fire. That's his promise. But then again, he promises the adequacy of his protection. The adequacy of his protection. Look at Isaiah 43 verse 2 again. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why do these things not happen? Because they should. We should be burned, incinerated as we go through the fire. We should be overflowed in this density of water. Why doesn't it happen? The only explanation? God is protecting us. The adequacy of his protection. It means that though the level can rise and rise and rise through flood and fire to that of desperate in our eyes, he will not allow it to overcome us. I think of another promise in 1 Corinthians 10 and the verse 13. There is no temptation or trial taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tried above that ye are able, but will also with the temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So he's promising to you today the security of his property, the adequacy of his protection. Another part of the promise, he promises the constancy of his presence. The constancy of his presence. Isaiah 43 and 2, yet again. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When all of these things happen. Doesn't the world cry out today? Where is God? Where is God in all of this? Whenever I need him, where is God? And it doesn't believe, of course, that it's even possible for God to be there. But I'll tell you where God is. And for all the children of God, when they're going through the flood, when they're going through the fire, God is always in the same place. God is always with them. That's where he is. I will be with thee. I can't read these words without turning in my mind over to Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Daniel 3 verse 19 to 28 is where we read the history of that. And in they go into that fiery furnace, and it's stoked up to the highest intensity, higher than ever before, and yet they come out of it and a hair of their head is not singed. They're on the pathway God has appointed for them. And even more wonderful is the fact, as you look into that fiery furnace, when those three Hebrew children are in it, you'll see not three but four. The form of the fourth, like the Son of God, Jesus was with them in the time of intense trial. I will be with thee. As Spurgeon put it, the refiner is never far from the mouth of the furnace when his gold is in the fire, and the Son of God is always walking in the flames when his holy children are cast in them. Two disciples trudging home, road to Emmaus. The bottom of the world has fallen out because their Redeemer, their Creator, the one who chose them, he has died in a way that they didn't expect, at a time when they hadn't anticipated, and everything has fallen crashing apart around them. But what do we find? In Luke chapter 24, these words, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. when other helpers fail and comforts flee. Help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. And that's part of his promise here, the security of his property, the adequacy of his protection, the constancy of his presence. And the fourth part of the promise, the certainty of his purpose. The certainty of his purpose. God has a purpose in everything that happens to his children. Do I understand that? No, I don't. Do I always see what it is? No, I don't. Will I one day? Of course I will. But Romans 8:28 makes this fact abundantly clear. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who were the called according to his purpose. And of this I am confident, one day that purpose will be complete and will be revealed. Notice what it says here in verse 2 again. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. It is passeth through. Not you pass into this, and then you're submerged. You're lost, gone without trace. Where is he? Where is she? Where have they gone? What has happened to them? No sign of them anymore. Drowned, forgotten. No, that's not what happens. Despite the intensity. And we're not minimizing that. We still pass through. God, in his purpose, his plan, brings us through to the other side. It's a comfort to know that no matter how I feel right now, God says, I am going through. The further we travel along the pathway of testing and trial, the nearer we get to the fullness of God's blessing, ultimately to his glory, we will have been enriched, we will have been refined, we will have been sanctified, because we have come through. The steel that suffers the most is the best steel. That steel has been in the furnace, it's been on the anvil, it's been in the jaws of the vise, it's been heated and hammered and filed until it doesn't even know itself, but it comes out a splendid shining knife. So God promises, and we can rely on his unbreakable, unshakable word. And who is making the promise? Look at the signature on these promises here, or this four-part promise. Who's signing off on this? In verse 3 of Isaiah 43:4, here's why I can be confident. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. Lord, if I'm tempted to doubt, I can't doubt now. Here's the signature. The promiser. The Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour, and through his power we will know deliverance from every trouble. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. What we have here are heavenly helps for earthly hurts. And I pray the Lord will make them that to us as we travel on, and with him as we travel through. We'll close by singing 572, hymn number 572. A wonderful Saviour is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Saviour to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. Let's stand as we sing, please. We thank thee that the children of God can say and testify today, our wonderful Saviour is Jesus my Lord. We thank you for being with us. We thank you, Lord, for travelling with us in all the difficult parts of the journey of life. We thank you for hiding us in the cleft of the rock. We praise thee for bringing thy love our way. And Father, we pray that thou will continue to be with us every step of the journey. And may we continue with gratitude to sound out thy praises and tell of thy wonderful love. In our Saviour's name we pray. Amen.